Ever get a traffic ticket and think, ugh, well, that was annoying, but at least it's over, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But imagine if that little traffic ticket ended up coming back to haunt you later on in a totally unrelated lawsuit.
Oh, wow.
That's the wild ride we're going to be taking today on this deep dive with Stroud v. Cook.
That's a good one.
So what happened?
It all starts with what seems like a pretty typical fender bender in Nevada
Oh, yeah.
back in 1993.
Okay.
You've got Stroud and Cook colliding, then another driver, Tinsley, gets involved.
Right.
Cook gets cited for failure to use due care and probably figured that was the end of it.
Yeah, a $35 ticket, not exactly breaking the bank. But then Stroud sues Cook for negligence.
Right.
And Cook tries to prevent the jury from even hearing about that seemingly really minor ticket.
Yeah.
Why would he do that? It seems like it'd be pretty relevant,
You
right?
would think so, but that's where this case takes us down a bit of a legal rabbit hole. So the ticket's technically hearsay, a statement made outside of court, and those usually aren't allowed as evidence.
Right.
Courts are all about making sure the evidence is reliable, not just gossip from down the street.
Right. I get wanting reliable evidence, but a traffic ticket is an official document. Seems like something that you'd think would be considered trustworthy.
Exactly. And that's where things get interesting.
Okay.
There are exceptions to the hearsay rule, like for public records.
Right.
I think birth certificates, marriage licenses, those are generally considered pretty reliable.
Yeah.
But is a traffic ticket a public record in that sense?
Right.
So to figure that out, the court looked to a previous case from the Ninth Circuit, U.S. v. Loera, which said even misdemeanor convictions can be admissible as public records.
Okay, so it seems like Stroud has a pretty good argument for using the ticket. But I'm sensing there might be a twist coming.
You're catching on to the legal drama here. Nevada law steps in and throws a wrench into things with Statute 41.133. Now, this isn't just about whether the ticket can be used as evidence. It creates a presumption of civil liability if someone's convicted of a crime related to the incident.
Cool. A presumption of liability.
Yeah.
That sounds like it really shifts the burden of proof in a huge way.
Oh, absolutely. Now, it's not Stroud having to prove Cook was negligent.
Right.
Cook has to prove that he wasn't.
Wow, that $35 ticket suddenly has a lot more weight to it.
Yeah.
This case isn't quite as straightforward as it first appeared.
You got it. And there are some pretty interesting questions about fairness here, right?
Yeah.
Should a misdemeanor conviction, which has a lower burden of proof, be enough to decide a whole civil case?
Yeah.
It's something that legal scholars debate all the time, and we'll explore some of those implications a bit later.
Okay.
But first, we've got another layer of complexity to add in here. This case was in federal court, not state court.
The federal court angle. That always adds a little extra intrigue.
Right?
Did we talk about the Erie Doctrine before? I always feel like that's a signal for things to get really complicated.
It is.
Okay.
It's super important to understand the Erie Doctrine when a federal court hears a case based on state law.
Right.
Like we have here with Stroud and Cook being from different states, that's called diversity jurisdiction.
Right.
The Erie Doctrine helps us figure out which rules the federal court should actually apply.
So it's about figuring out whether to use federal rules or state rules, right?
Exactly. Two totally different sets of rules could totally change the outcome.
Yeah.
So the basic idea of the Erie Doctrine is this.
Okay.
Federal courts have to follow state substantive law.
Okay.
Those are the rules that define rights and obligations,
Right.
but they can use their own procedural rules.
Okay.
Those are the rules about how the court operates.
So if Nevada law says a traffic ticket creates this presumption of liability, does the federal court have to follow that?
You're on the right track. But this is where it gets a little tricky,
Okay.
is that Nevada statute about evidence, or does it actually change the party's rights? If it's just about evidence, maybe the federal court could stick to federal rules.
Yeah.
But if it's about substantive rights,
Then it sounds like the federal court's going to have to follow Nevada's lead.
right.
So did the court end up considering that traffic ticket?
They did. The court decided that the Nevada statute wasn't just about evidence. It fundamentally changed the burden of proof.
Okay.
They classified it as substantive law, meaning the federal court had to follow it.
So even though it was in federal court, Nevada law was the deciding factor.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big deal.
It is. It really highlights how much power state legislatures have in shaping lawsuits, even in federal court.
Right.
The court basically said, Nevada set the rules of the game and we have to play by them.
So Cook couldn't keep that traffic ticket out of the trial.
Nope. The jury heard about it.
Mm.
And remember, Nevada law says that ticket creates a presumption of Cook's liability. It's wild how this all played out. What started as a simple traffic violation now becomes a major obstacle for Cook's entire defense.
It's amazing how we went from a fender bender to this deep dive into all these legal principles.
It really shows you how different areas of the law all intersect, you know, and how even the tiniest details can have massive consequences. This is why I love deep dives. Like, we always find unexpected connections.
Yeah, me too. And I'm already thinking about the bigger implications here. If this applies to traffic tickets, what about other criminal convictions? Like, what if someone was convicted of drunk driving? Could that automatically be used in a civil case for damages?
You're thinking like a true legal mind. We're going to explore those questions further when we come back.
Okay.
But that's going to have to wait for next time.
Right. Stay tuned.
Right.
All right. We'll be back. It's mind-blowing how something we often think of as just a minor inconvenience like a traffic ticket can have these huge ripple effects in the legal world.
Yeah. It's a great illustration of how interconnected the law really is. You know, actions have consequences, and those consequences, sometimes they show up in some really unexpected places. This case is a good reminder to always think about the potential legal ramifications of everything you do.
Yeah, I bet some of our law student listeners are sweating a little bit right now thinking about all those parking tickets they've gotten.
Yeah, probably.
So for all those students who are feeling a little panicked right now, what are the key takeaways from Stroud v. Cook that they should really be focusing on?
Well, first off, it shows how important state law is, even in federal court.
Right.
As we talked about earlier, when it comes to those core issues of liability, state law can be the deciding factor.
Yeah, so even if you're dreaming of arguing cases before the Supreme Court, you can't forget about good old state law.
Exactly. Understanding the nuances of state law, especially in areas like torts and evidence, that's huge for any lawyer.
Okay, state law, check. What else should our future lawyers be taking away from this case?
Well, Stroud v. Cook also really shows how crucial strategy is when it comes to the rules of evidence. Knowing when to use evidence, how to use it, and when to fight against it can make or break your case.
I'm starting to see why my evidence professor was so intense about every single rule and exception.
Yeah, it's like a high-stakes game of chess where just knowing the rules isn't enough, you know? You gotta anticipate your opponent's moves and plan your strategy.
So, thinking back to Cook's lawyer, do you think they should have seen this coming?
Uh-huh.
That maybe the traffic ticket might become a problem and had a plan?
Yeah, definitely possible. They could have tried to downplay how important the ticket was. You know, maybe argue that it wasn't directly related to the accident or present evidence to challenge the circumstances around the violation.
So being creative and prepared for the unexpected is key.
For sure.
Any other little nuggets of wisdom our listeners should be writing down?
Well, this case brings up a bigger point about the balance between efficiency and fairness in our legal system. I mean, using criminal convictions to establish civil liability can streamline things.
Yeah.
But it also raises questions about due process and whether that's always fair to the defendant.
It's tricky, right? On the one hand, you want the system to be efficient. But on the other hand, you don't want to sacrifice justice just for the sake of speed.
That's exactly right. And cases like this force us to really think about those big questions and the potential impact on everyone involved.
It's pretty fascinating how a case about a fender bender can lead to these really deep legal and philosophical discussions.
I know, right? That's the beauty of law. It's not just about memorizing rules. It's about understanding the principles behind those rules.
Right.
The competing interests and how those rules actually impact people's lives.
Yeah. Okay. So we've covered a lot of ground today. Hearsay, Erie Doctrine, the burden of proof. Even touched on some pretty big philosophical questions. Any final thoughts for our aspiring lawyers out there before we move on?
Yeah, just never underestimate the impact of even the smallest legal issues.
Right.
A parking ticket, a minor conviction. These things can have consequences down the road, especially in civil cases.
So be prepared, be strategic, and always think a few steps ahead.
Yeah, that's good advice for anyone, really, not just lawyers.
All right, and speaking of surprises, I have one final question for you. Remember how we like to leave our listeners with a little something to think about?
Of course.
A little mental puzzle to keep those legal gears turning.
I love it. What is it?
Well, do you think the outcome of Stroud v. Cook would have been different if the case had been heard in Nevada state court instead of federal court?
Ooh, that is a good one. It gets right to the heart of the Erie Doctrine and how federal and state law work together.
It's like we're stepping into an alternate legal dimension or something.
I know, right?
Would a Nevada state court have been bound by that same state statute about the presumption of liability? Or would they have had more freedom in deciding whether to even admit the traffic ticket as evidence?
Well, here's where things get interesting.
Okay.
Remember, the Erie Doctrine only applies in federal court.
Right.
State courts, they apply their own state laws and rules of evidence.
So there's a chance a Nevada state court might have reached a different decision.
Absolutely.
And maybe they wouldn't have given the traffic ticket so much weight.
It's possible. State courts have their own precedents and ways of interpreting state law. They might have decided to just exclude the ticket completely.
Wow. So the outcome could actually depend on something as simple as where the case is filed.
Yep.
That's a pretty big deal for lawyers to think about.
Yeah. It can be a huge strategic decision. Lawyers have to weigh the pros and cons of each jurisdiction and figure out how all those different rules and interpretations might affect their client.
This is starting to feel like a legal thriller with all these twists and turns.
It's all part of the game. And Stroud v. Cook is a perfect example of how something as seemingly minor as a traffic ticket can completely change everything.
This case really makes you think, huh, how many other tiny legal details are out there that could turn into something huge later down the line? It's like this whole hidden web of connections we don't even realize are there.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that the law is really a system, you know? And what might seem small and insignificant in one situation can become super powerful in another. Stroud v. Cook is a perfect example of that, right? We've got traffic violations, personal injury lawsuits, rules of evidence, federal jurisdiction. They're all tied together.
It's like one of those legal thriller movies where you start to think everyone's connected somehow.
Right.
But in this case, it's the laws themselves that are all tangled up.
Exactly. And untangling those connections is a big part of what lawyers actually do. They have to be able to see the big picture and understand how it all fits together.
So speaking of the big picture, this case makes me think about all the what ifs. Like, what if Stroud and Cook weren't from different states? Would it have even ended up in federal court?
That's a great question. If they were both from the same state, the case probably would have stayed in state court. And then we'd be looking at a whole different set of rules, right?
So this whole thing could have played out so differently just based on where the people lived. It's kind of crazy when you think about it.
It really shows you how important it is to understand jurisdiction and venue when it comes to litigation. Where a case is filed can have a big impact on the outcome. It's another one of those strategic things lawyers have to consider.
This whole deep dive has basically been a masterclass in legal strategy. I mean, we've gone from a fender bender to hearsay, the Erie Doctrine, the burden of proof, even some pretty philosophical questions about fairness. I feel like I just got a legal upgrade or something.
I'm glad to hear that. And remember, even experienced lawyers come across cases like this that make them rethink everything they thought they knew about the law. That's what keeps things interesting.
It's like this giant puzzle that's always changing, always throwing new challenges your way. I think our listeners are going to be thinking about this case for a while.
I hope so. It's one of those cases that gets you curious and makes you start questioning things you might have always just accepted, you know? And who knows, maybe it'll inspire some future lawyers to focus on torts or evidence or even federal jurisdiction.
Or maybe it'll just make everyone be extra careful when they're driving and avoid getting those traffic tickets in the first place.
Right. That's always a good plan. But really, this case shows how even the smallest legal issues can sometimes snowball into something much bigger. It's a good lesson for everyone, whether you're in law school, practicing law, or just trying to make sense of the legal system.
I agree. Well said. And on that note, I think we're going to wrap up our deep dive into Stroud v. Cook. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
We'll be back next week with another fascinating legal adventure. So until then, stay curious and keep those legal minds sharp.
See you next time.